Okay, so yeah, what's this? So extra lean, it's not exactly something that we formed with a mission statement and everything, but we've got we often will chat before or after an episode. Before the episode, we try to chat a little bit less though, because that lets out too much of the freshness.
Yeah.
Yep. The
The
fresh.
whole idea is to capture us in our candid and natural and extemporaneously, as the kids say. As the kids say, right? On the children's TV Choice Awards.
I tell you, if I had a nickel for every time extemporaneous appeared in a pop song, I would have zero nickels.
Zero. Count them, zero nickels.
Extra lean. Obviously we don't have a flow for it, right? But
Not yet. Not yet. We will.
yeah. But it's
Well, that could be the topic. That could be the mini topic. Is, this is something we talked about in the most recent Lean Into Art, episode 64, when we were doing the curveball section, is when people say you started too soon. It wasn't fully formed. You were born preemie, right? And we all know what happens to preemies, where they get put in incubators. Wait till it's fully developed before you push the plunger. Man, oh man, I understand that point of view. I totally do. But I am also a big subscriber to the hacker's ethos of ship and iterate.
Well, I it's funny. One of the common things that people will point out is that well, certain domains, certain interests or concerns or risky places where you can't fail. Failure's not an option. Space travel or whatever. But even that, there's so much baloney, because there's so many failures in the lab. Like they blew up little rockets. They, had things hit the ceiling of the
Yeah,
with those
propulsion
wind
laboratory.
tunnels or whatever. What?
Oh yeah, the wind tunnels.
Or whatever. I mean, it's just things break. And then they discover new tolerances and new it all of this does feed an overall process where if you looked away for a long time, then looked back, kind of like the idea of overnight success, magically, yeah, it arrives fully formed, but that's because you weren't necessarily paying attention or witnessing all the preparation and iteration that occurred to get there. So I don't know. I actually can't name anything. Can you name anything that really arrives fully formed? I suppose, okay, you named a child, so theoretically, right? But that people make, other than children.
Other than, well, things that we don't make biologically.
There you go, that we don't make biologically.
Well, even a child doesn't arrive fully formed if you want to go into whole zygote kind of thing, right?
Okay, true.
No, I can't think of a single thing. And I mean, this is something that I run into with one of the difficulties in teaching young people is making them understand that the ease that I have in drawing something comes from a lifetime of doing it. That is an extremely abstract concept to a 12-year-old, right? Who to whom 6 years is a lifetime ago. Right. And then when I say I've been doing this 18 years, I might as well say a million years. And oh, well, now I don't want to do it. I don't want to do anything that takes that long,
Yeah, that sounds awful. Like I can never, because yeah, the presumption that you couldn't, since this is when you first shared something with them, that somehow you waited this long to, anyway. Yeah, it, right. What is that perception about? Like, what do you think that is? I mean, do you think it's a stage of development, or is it
What, with kids?
with, well, yeah, I
Oh, with
mean,
anybody,
or
actually.
is it?
I don't know. I mean, it's tough for me to say because I have the perspective of somebody who has pursued a single thing for a long time, and I know what goes into it. So when I'm presented with the notion of, like, so my brother, who's a musician, was trying to convince me to just put in an hour a week on an instrument, and I have a couple instruments. He's like, just put in an hour a week on it and you'll see results start accumulating. He's like, you want to play it? And I'm like, yeah, I do. But I also know how much real work needs to go into it for it to not be me just pulling it out at a party and going like, all right, I'm going to play a few notes. Wait. Oh, I almost had it. Wait, you know, and being that guy. You know what I mean? Because I'm aware of how much it takes just to be good at one thing, even to piddle around with something, I'm dismayed, but not the way the kids are dismayed, right? It's not something where it's like, oh, that sounds like work, I don't want to do it. It's like, oh, but I'd want to do it to X amount of satisfaction, therefore, and it would take resources from this other thing that I'm trying to reach this level of satisfaction with, so therefore I can't do it, or I won't allow myself to do it, right? I'm going to allocate my resources in such a way. So it's hard for me to know with somebody who's starting a creative pursuit later in life, who hasn't gone through that. Like, let's say you've been a bartender or you've worked in the travel industry or something for 10, 15 years, and all that time you've harbored the secret thing that you want to do creatively, and then you finally take the plunge to do it, you still don't have a visceral sense of how much goes into it, right? Because even you, Rob, you come into comics later in life, but even though you had a passion for it earlier in life, but you went through teaching yourself all of your UI UX skills first, so you knew what you were getting into.
Yeah, I mean, it's but what's funny is that a lot of I think we chatted about something similar to this I think the first time we recorded together, which was on a Thunder Punch Daily, that I don't mean to be diminutive about comics, but as from someone coming to it fresh, so
careful.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, basically, it to me, this is a personally relative judgment or whatever, right? But it seemed simpler to do a comic than to finish a game, right?
I'll agree with that. And I think actually in the last 10 years, it's only gotten easier, not because of technological advances, but because people's, the general public's sense of what qualifies as a comic has broadened.
Yeah, exactly. The availability of the educational resources. I had read years ago, I read Understanding Comics probably back in, 2002 or 2003, somewhere around there. And I just used it to inform my UI design and all that. I thought, wow, this is, also it started to affect my game design as well. And anyway, I took on comics later in life, partially as a way to, reacclimate myself to the creative process, get a fresh perspective. And what's funny, and do it, like, I didn't jump into, like, something I'd never touched before. I have been a lifelong visual artist. Right. It's just that comics threw all sorts of constraints and new vocabulary at me, like, especially when I sat down to do it. And more or less every bit of technique and approach that I used to use as part of my, like, when I felt like drawing something time, out the window. Because I'm like, oh, okay, I have to. I'm doing line art now and whatever. And anyway, I'm not doing, you know, gradients and pencil and stuff, right? Anyway,
right.
Or lots of hatch work with pen. I mean, anyway.
Well, that's why I'm saying that it's. I think comics is easier now as a medium than it was 15 to 20 years ago, because the definition of what made a comic was so much narrower. If you were to take the work I'm doing right now and show it to a professional comic book company in the mid-80s, I wouldn't get a job. No way. There's no way. They would say that I needed years and years more experience. I needed to practice my anatomy. I had to learn how to draw more realistic. And today I'm doing or have done illustrations for Marvel, right? I did some of the Marvel Superhero Squad trading cards, which... It's not the comics, I get that, but I was paid by a company to draw Spider-Man. That's professional illustration work for Marvel by definition. And the client was very happy with the work. And I think about how, you know, because the comics visual style has opened up again. I mean, it was open in its beginnings, like with Winsor McCay and with like the early newspaper strips and throughout up through the 50s with like different cartoony styles along with more realistic styles. But it got so narrow in the 80s that, I don't even think there's no way in this life I would have had a job in comics.
I think that represents a culture. There was a collective belief that was both in that was just fostered as a feedback loop of everyone having this dominant assumption that went into influencing the art form. And I would argue a lot of illustration because a lot of my I was into drawing, just photorealistic for through a good chunk of a portion of high school. And but it was during that same time, and I would argue it's part of the same zeitgeist, probably, as far as so emphatically.
I mean, I think that I'm not a sociologist, but I bet that has a lot to do with how the internet has affected culture and the opening up of more things being available to more people, that more things can cross-pollinate and more viewpoints can be expressed. Therefore, whoever has the stranglehold on a certain culture no longer have that stranglehold. You get to have people who, I had a funny conversation with somebody who asked me if I would be interested, not asking me like in the position of being able to provide me with this option, but they just said like, hey, theoretically, would you be interested in drawing the My Little Pony Friendship is Magic comic if the opportunity presented itself? And my response was, you better believe I would. With gusto, I would do that in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And the other person's response was kind of laughter, like, ha, yeah, that's awesome. And it was like this kind of like, just as I thought, Jersey, of course you would. But I couldn't help but feel that there was an undercurrent of that laughter also came out of the fact that most people in comics would not, I don't know if you saw the news, My Little Pony Friendship is Magic is like getting like gangbuster sales. That's outselling many, many, many superhero titles. It's doing really well. Written by Katie Cook, Michigan, Ann Arbor area.
That's really cool. That's awesome. We need more and more more and more fresh blood in all aspects of the ecosystem.
But what's funny is it reminded me, as I was watching my Twitter and Facebook and all my other social feeds, I was reminded of the election. Because when the election was going on, the presidential election, for those who don't live in the United States, when that was going on, I watched my feeds turn into these very diametrically opposed series of posts, right? Oh, if Romney doesn't win, the world will erupt into sodomizing zombies, right? Hell on earth will come. And then the other side would say, if Romney wins, poor people are going to be put into concentration camps and have barbed wire stuck down their throats. Both sides were really expressing their viewpoints very, very loudly. And I've made a point. I've made a point to never express my political leanings publicly because I'm delighted by listening to people guess where I fall on the political spectrum, and I'll never say. But anyway, where I'm going with this is that with the My Little Pony thing, it's interesting that I watched some people go, hooray! Hooray, this comic that is, ostensibly a little girl's book is rocketing up the charts. Let's get more women involved in making comics. Let's get more girls involved in buying comics. I saw an equal number of posts from people saying, so it's come to this, has it? This dumb little girl's comic. Yeah. Comics is doomed because my superhero title is not the number one selling book in the United States, and everybody should love my superhero. So where am I going with this? I don't remember where I'm going.
Let's see. Well, okay. We're talking about. I think. And there's a little bit of an undertone that we can make. Emphasize that in going ahead and starting to create something before you know for sure what the final form will be, and willing to go on a path of discovery. Versus choosing not to do that and assuming it has to be somehow truly finalized, whatever that is, before it can it can be of any value to an audience. I think it, what is that? They're different value judgments on what is of use in the creative space. And I think one of them echoes the, willingness to participate or expectations of what, of like rules and hierarchy in the system, that I think the hierarchy is vanishing over more and more over time. Right.
Yeah.
Not entirely. I look at it as pluralistic. Let me jump to this a weird place where, like, I remember back in somewhere around the year 2000 when, I want to get the year right. It's somewhere around the year 2000 when Big Game Hunter was the number one selling PC title. And that was a giant awakening, a big shock, where no longer were video games about people who enjoyed and grew up with classic gaming and a set, a vocabulary of gameplay and dynamics and themes and whatnot, that you could, it was like any game section of any game store was full of possibilities that I would be interested in all of them. And all of a sudden that showed up on the market and dominated. So many things started to ripple from there. And then all of a sudden I couldn't just walk into a game store and like probably like anything there in some way. I mean, yeah, there were stinkers, no doubt, but even then, like, I thought, well, it's not going to make everything else go away. So that my approach was pluralistic. It gave me pause, but I didn't get out my torch and pitchfork because I thought, we'll coexist.
Well, I think you just hit on like the big idea there, is that sense of defensiveness about they're going to take away my thing. Have you played with the Wii U yet?
I've held it in a store, but I have not purchased one.
You haven't purchased one? Oh, I thought you would have been one of the guys who would have it like on week one.
I'm very sad about Nintendo, and that's a different, probably a different topic for another day. Yep.
Oh, so
they have lost their way.
So you don't have sanguine expectations for the Wii U?
I know I have. I deeply hope that they they reset. I think they explored with the power of their creativity for a while with the Wii, and then they became hyper conservative again. And it's a thing. It's something that I need to do more studying. I'm not a sociologist, but I think there's something behind the corporate culture that drives Nintendo that stops them from just embracing. If they, for instance, like go look at what it's like to sign up to be a developer for Nintendo, right? Go look at the cost of what a DS, what's it called? I got the DS, the 3DS. I got that for Father's Day, actually. Not this year, but the year, a year ago in June or whatever, right? Super happy, right? Went, was like, yay. And there was, it was like they never learned a lesson from this thing called the iPhone that came out. And they're playing in a different world in a different time, and they're just kind of lost, in other words. So they're not embracing like a more plural market and the right prices and, tapping into different creative pools than they, Instead, they're being very insular.
This is not where I expected to go, but I'm actually really, really interested.
I think they could be, very, very vibrant and whatnot. But I don't think they're choosing things that are going to help them revive. I think they're just slowly going to die if they don't.
Will you please mark this for follow up on the next Extra Lean? Because I got to dig into this with you.
Yep.
I've got to find out what your thoughts are on this, because I've heard from other sources that this is the next generation. That everything they're doing is right. And then I hear from other people that, no, casual gaming is Angry Birds. And if you're not doing Angry Birds, you will fail. You know, so like I'm hearing a lot of conflicting stuff, and as a guy who doesn't follow the gaming industry hardly at all, you know, I don't know. And plus I hate that whole horse race crap of, you know, who's going to win. I just want to know who's doing interesting stuff.
And I do think they're still doing interesting stuff, but and I would love to chat more about it. And I just don't think they're doing enough to bolster that and survive the rest of the innovation that's going on.
Well, and that's, you know, I think that ties into some of the general themes of Lean Into Art as well, is not what's next. Okay. So here's the thing. In all of this sort of coaching how-to kind of media that you get out there, you get either here is the tried and true proven method of success. I've got it in 5 easy bullet points in my book, buy my book, buy my system, buy the folder that with the branding and all that stuff, get the special backpack. And then there's like the Puron futurist who's just trying to figure out who's going to win the horse race. Who's going to come on top? What's going to be the next big thing? What's going to be the next big thing in social media? Oh, you know, now there's this thing called, what was one of the ones people were getting excited about? Alpha, right?
.net. App.net?
App.net, right? Yeah. This is going to be the future because he's asking for money up front before he can even use the service. And that's, we've identified the future, done. We don't have to think about it anymore. I live in a place someplace between those two countries, and I subscribe to neither. I love mulling on futurism kind of topics. I also love examining systems and figuring out what has worked. Mm-hmm. But I don't say the Pledge of Allegiance to either. And this topic kind of speaks to that country of, let's look at what Nintendo's doing, because Nintendo's telling a story both as a company and they tell a story through their machines, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even talking about the games. I'm talking about the Wii said a different thing than what the PlayStation said or what the Xbox said. You know, when I see the Xbox, I hear like heavy, deep, bassy riffs. Chum, 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 chum. You're serious if you're playing this thing. This is the mm-hmm. real deal. You better have big muscles and nerves of steel. And, you know, you must be very, very virile. You must be the most fertile man who ever lived to play this.
Exactly. You got to bite the controller like a wolf.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's like you got to be a pro wrestler to play that game. Whereas the Wii was kind of like, are you a guy who, you know, you watched Room with a View? You maybe shed a few tears when you watched that in the sad part. You could play the Wii. It's all right. You could have a little bit of like a, you could think that, you know, children are cool.
Yep.
So that's the kind of stuff that I think is worth looking at and talking about and examining, because I think that that's the kind of thing we should be thinking about in our own careers as creative people.
What we build says stuff about us, and then how we share it says stuff about us and all that. And it's worth considering every angle of it.
So we'll do that next time.
But not to the point of being frozen. Watch me wrap it back to the beginning. But not to the point of being frozen. We have to be able to move forward. So welcome to Extra Lean.
And cut.